Are you ready to elevate your personal or business brand with a professionally self-published book, but you keep getting repeatedly stuck time and time again? If you've been burned by bad advice, my friend, overwhelmed by the fire hose of information, or simply don't know where to turn, listen in for straightforward, actionable publishing guidance without the fluff so you can avoid the biggest and costliest mistakes new authors make. Self-publishing for professionals is your roadmap to becoming a published thought leader. Hey friends and future authors, this is Lynn Liquidy Smarges back again with another episode of Publishing for Professionals. I am super excited today because we have a guest expert on. But before we jump into today's show, I wanted to give you a big welcome back to my returning listeners. Thanks so much for joining me again. And another big welcome to my new listeners. Thank you so much for finding this podcast and giving it a listen. I really appreciate your time. So if you stopped in to check out my podcast, please make sure to hit the follow button to get professional writing and publishing advice dropped straight to your podcast player or YouTube channel every week. So I hope you're ready to take notes, my friend. Because today I'm joined by Ray Hartgen, who is the author of 5 published books, including his most recent book, Revenue Orchestration and Today's New Era of B2B Sales and Marketing. He's a writer, musician, and marketer. He's also a cancer patient advocate living in Southern California. Throughout his professional career spanning 5 decades, Ray pivoted on many occasions, but his one constant has been a deep passion for storytelling. Ray's here with us today to share how your book is a great driver for your inbound sales pipeline. Ray, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Lynn. I'm super excited to be on the show. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I was excited because when we had talked about like what you could come on the show for, I'm like, this is absolutely perfect because this is exactly what my listeners are always looking to do because they're either writing another book or they've published a book. And a lot of my listeners are executives who are looking to build their brand with a book. So I'm super excited to ask you some questions today. So first off, Ray, why did you decide to write this book? So you have 5 written books. They're not all nonfiction, but why this book?
I thought it was important because over the last 5 years in particular, 5 or 6 years, the way that B2B buyers have approached their roles in purchasing goods, services, and experiences has changed dramatically. Yet B2B go-to-market teams are kind of stuck in the paradigms of the past. You know, for decades have had these experiences that really kind of forced the buyer into the B2B selling process. And it's kind of contra to what B2B buyers experience in their personal lives, Lynn. Every B2B buyer is also a B2C buyer. And for 15 years, B2C buyers have enjoyed these world-class buying experiences where they can search and shop in anonymity. Many times they don't even connect with a person within the brand, and they don't really connect with the brand until they actually transact. And that's when they're spending $20, $30, $50, $100. But you take that exact same person, put them into the B2B setting, using oftentimes the same technology, the same notebook computer, the same phone, the same tablet. This time they're spending $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, but they're in this archaic type of system that we've forced them to get into. The pandemic, Lynn, kind of changed that, right? You know, we learned that not only do we not have to work in an office, but we can do a lot of things electronically using technology to really facilitate our business. And B2B buyers want something different. The research is out there. They want to self-serve at least part of their buying journey, right? Things that we on the revenue team used to think of bottom of the funnel type of assets, like peer customer reviews, things like that. Those are now some of the first things that buyers are looking at. They have changed their behaviors, the buyers. They've turned, you know, the industry upside down. And I felt that it was a need to, you know, break people out of this existing paradigm. You've got the experience and it's gotten you to where you are, but it's time to reevaluate how you go to market. Now it's about facilitating the buyer journey as opposed to making the buyer fit your pre-established selling processes.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah, because a lot of the old ways of thinking and doing business are completely don't even match what, like, especially the new generations coming up, right, are expecting and looking for.
B2B buyers are younger and younger, but even the, you know, and those digital natives, they're expert at search, right? But one thing that nobody really enjoys is having sellers pester them. You know, you look at a typical B2B go-to-market strategy is to have your most valued content hidden behind a paywall. And that paywall is a form to fill out your name and your email address and your phone number. Yet you know that as soon as you fill that out, now you're on someone's list, right? You have a BDR, a business development representative, or an SDR, sales development representative. Their job is to get you a meeting with their account executive, and they're going to bother you. Conversion rates on those forms, Lynn, are about 3%. That's a good one, right?
Right. You know, because 1% I believe is average.
Yeah, the best are like 10%, world class. But if you look at that, you go, wow, 90% of your customers, you've done perfectly to get them to where you wanted to get to them. But 90% of your customers, in the best case scenario, decide that they're going to opt out just because they don't want to give this information. Where else is it okay in your business to lose 90% of your prospective customers? It's time to maybe change that around.
Yeah, obviously you did that with a book, and I'm assuming that's the main reason why you wrote your book, to be more of like a soft sell lead magnet to what you're doing.
Yeah, I wanted it to be a thought leadership type of piece. I think there's a lot of different ways you can kind of get those types of concepts out. But, you know, it's a way just to teach people what revenue orchestration is, and defined revenue orchestration is the purposeful coordination of your people, plays, and processes to facilitate the buying journey, right? So my book, Revenue Orchestration and Today's New Era of B2B Sales and Marketing, is a quick 90-minute read. You know, you can probably read it shorter than that, but just introduces you to the concepts. You know, go-to-market professionals, that you've got the people, the processes, and the plays already. It's just you need to kind of reconfigure them, purposely coordinate them, and, you know, really put the customer, the buyer, at the center of it all.
Yeah. And so I know one of the things with writing a book is that you have a clearly defined avatar, and most people do. Not everybody knows who that avatar is, but you need to know that before you write your book. So Ray, you obviously knew that before you wrote your book. How did you pick what topics you were going to put in your book once you knew, like, okay, this is my avatar, this is what they need? How did you go about deciding? Because I know that's one of the things my clients struggle with, is like, oh my gosh, I could talk about 22 different things, but you can't put 22 different topics into a book and have it be an easy read.
Yeah. You know, so, if, you know, for me, you know, I used it in terms of the, you know, like from a go-to-market perspective, from, you know, being a veteran of the go-to-market teams in the SaaS space, I viewed it as your ideal customer profile. You know, this is the customer. These are the people that I need to speak with. And it's, you know, managerial level and higher on go-to-market teams. And what I wanted to talk to them about, my level of expertise, was, you know, understanding that there's this new buyer, this new B2B buyer out there. And if it's not a new buyer, maybe they're existing buyers, they at least have new buying behaviors. And that's the area that I was knowledgeable about. I could have maybe, you know, thought of some other topics, but this is what I knew about. I believe it's important, got a passion behind it, and this is what I wanted to communicate. And it's also a narrow enough focus where I could, I could share thought leadership ideas and then spark further conversations that, you know, might lead to expanding my network, conversations might lead to expanding my business, or what have you. But that's the first hook, was education, awareness, engagement.
Awesome. And then what kind of response did you get when you first published your book, like the initial response, and you're either handing it out as a calling card or people purchasing it on Amazon or another platform? Like, what was your initial response that people got back to you on with the book?
You know, the initial response was supportive. It's like, oh, great. You know, I want to know more about this. And that came really from the immediate network, which was thankful for and grateful for. Then it became awfully slow. You know, then, you know, when you come to market with a book, you know, you, the author, are, you know, you're the only one responsible really for promotion and marketing, right? You know, even if you don't self-publish, if you go through a established publisher, they don't have the bandwidth to promote your work. So it was also getting back into the grind of promoting the book, along with all my other books. You know, it takes a chunk of the day to just raise awareness and to engage potential readers. But, you know, initially, because it was a business book, using a social platform like LinkedIn, sharing that this is a concept that didn't invent, right? So there was this idea about revenue orchestration around, but find out more about it. And also, it's a quick read. It's inexpensive. Find ideas about how to improve your business.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love it. And so when you first published your book and you started using it as the introduction to your pipeline, was that, well, actually, let me back up and ask you this. So when you were thinking about writing a book, did you do it with the intention of having it as the lead part of your pipeline? Or were you writing it thinking like, okay, writing it more for like, hey, this is going to give me more exposure about like what I do and bring in some people and some leads?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, which is why you have the show, right? It's actually kind of both. It's a story I wanted to tell, and I thought that I could get a little bit of revenue from the story. It's also, I'm now amongst many things, I'm a freelance content marketer. And it was also a way to, you know, have a calling card for my business. It's just like, you want to find out more about this, give me a call. My phone number and email are in the book. It's a calling card for business. which opens up other revenue opportunities for me, bigger revenue opportunities for me. I'm not retiring off book sales of any of my five books, right? But, you know, as part of it, I had a story. I wanted to tell it. I like telling stories. I like engaging with people. I like expanding my network and having conversations about it, even if it doesn't result in revenue, because I think at some point in time, it kind of does. We have this web of connections, right? There are multiple reasons for doing it, but certainly to be able to, you know, bring people into rayhartchin.com and get introduced to me and we can have conversations.
Awesome. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break right here. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Ray about how he used his book at the top of his funnel. So hang tight. We'll be back in just a second. Are you looking for a community of professionals who understand the challenges of writing a book? Then join my new community, Publishing for Leaders, where you can attend our Authors Brew Coffee Chat, get real support and advice from a professional writer and editor. Join our community of authors who are writing their book right alongside you. The link is in the show notes below. Now let's get back to the show. Hey, friends and future authors, we are back with Ray Hartchin, and he's talking about how to use your book at the top of your lead funnel. And just remember, if you are loving this conversation, make sure you like and subscribe and leave a review for Publishing for Professionals podcast. So Ray, at the very first half, we talked about why you wrote your book, who your audience is, and what the focus was of your book and why you chose that content. So let's dive deep in the woods. And I want to chat about how you're using your book as a lead funnel. Like, and what are you doing? Like, what maybe some of the practices that you're doing to use your book as a lead funnel?
Yeah, it's not just me. It's a lot of people out there. You know, if you're a business executive, you're a business leader, business manager, you're looking to expand your business, you know, definitely consider a book. You know, books aren't for everybody, all right? But they are for some people, particularly what's known about kind of the business is a short, helpful book. So we're looking at these 100-page books. If you have a pitch deck out there, people, you have a book. All you have to do is convert that pitch deck into the written word. And having a book is, I mean, first of all, it's listed, right? It's, you know, say you take the direct route and you go directly through Amazon. It's listed up on Amazon. You know, you can be available for purchase and so forth. But there's a lot of people out there that give their books away for free. Print the book out and you know, put it up on LinkedIn. It's like, I've got this book. You need to read it. Let me know who you are. I'll send it to you for free. It's the calling card for the business. I think it's a great opportunity to do that. It builds your brand rather quickly. And with that is that brand awareness, but also that brand recall. And so when you start thinking about, hey, you know, we need to speak to this. And it doesn't have to be about go-to-market B2B sales. It could be, you could be a dentist in your town, right? You know, and write a book about the need to replace fillings, you know, from old, like
the old mercury ones.
Yeah. The old mercury fillings.
We call it silver, but they weren't really silver.
Yeah. You know, you have a, you know, just a little book like that and get out, because there's a sense of credibility and authority with the book. And plus the book, it lends itself to repurposing in other forms of content as well. So, you know, you can populate your website with tangential topics or smaller parts of the book, excerpts from the book, perhaps that then guide readers to the books. So you're maybe winning at search or winning at answer engine optimization through AI. It comes to your site. It introduces prospective customers to your book. So if you're out there thinking about a book, don't get put off by the daunting expectations. Like, oh man, I need to come up with, like, you know, it's going to take a year. It's not going to take a year. A short little book, we're looking like maybe 20,000 words. At 500 words a day, you're looking at a month and a half, you've got a book out. So if you have a pitch deck, you have a book inside you, just waiting to get out there, be exposed to customers. And if you have a pitch deck, it's not even searchable. But all these descriptions about your book is searchable. Got the opportunity to get inbound coming in.
You had mentioned earlier that some people give away books on LinkedIn. So they don't have to go through the whole publishing process with Amazon if you're doing that. But then some people do publish their books on LinkedIn. So what was your thought process, Frey, about, like, hey, should I publish a book and just give it away for free, or should I publish it on Amazon and charge for it? So how did you come to the decision to charge for your book?
Yeah, I thought it was fair to charge. My book, the Revenue Orchestration Book, is only available as an ebook on Amazon. And it's the only one of my books that is not does not have a paperback edition to it, but I'm thinking about making a paperback edition to it. For me, I think it's at $4.95 on Amazon, which is not a hurdle to buy the book. And so I thought, you know, hey, I should be compensated for at least having put the ideas out on word. But yeah, you know, I am considering putting it out on a paperback as well, just because paperbacks are super helpful. If there's any event that you go to in real life, real person event, you know, just to, you know, plop them down. There's a, I call it a thud factor. You know, I used to, you know, part of my past experience has been creating magazines for companies for big events. And, you know, and there's just that credibility, that authority, you know, authority of plopping something on the table and having it go thud, you know? And so, you know, paperback does a good job at that.
Now, one of the things I've experienced, which you probably experienced as well, is when I'm out talking to people and I'm like, oh, and I have a book, and I pull out the book and I give it to them because I feel like they're a person that would be somebody in my lead pipeline. People's like face light up and they're like, oh my gosh, you actually wrote this book? Because there's a lot of people that talk about writing a book, as you and I both know, right? And 90% of the people never publish their book, that they think, oh, I'm going to write a book. So what's been your experience with when you do hand out the book, like people's response, like, oh my gosh, you're an author. Like, what kind of responses have you gotten from that?
Yeah, I do get that. And I do get, and you know, and like you, I also get a lot of responses like, you know, I have a great idea for a book. In fact, my very first book is co-written with a friend of mine. It's a book called Immaculate, How the Steelers Saved Pittsburgh. And there's my co-writer, Tom, is a guy from Pittsburgh. He's a Yinzer. And he had this idea floating around in his head for about a book for 20 years, literally 20 years, bugging his friends and family about it. I didn't know him for 20 years. I only known him for about 15, but he had bothered me for 15. And finally, I just grabbed him and said, hey, Tom, if not now, when? I mean, I'm a writer. Let's get started with the book. And we should have a beer off passage. It's getting started. You know, people, it's this daunting aspect. It's like, I think it's going to be a great book, but I don't have time for a book or what have you. And if I think, particularly if you're a business and you're looking for establishing a kind of a shorter book as a calling card for your business, you've got the time. You also pretty much have the content, right? It's just in different places. You need to repurpose it, gather it together, fire it out. There's people like Lynn that can help you do it, but it is all about getting started. And like I said earlier, 20,000 word book is a short book, and at 500 words a day, you know, in 40 days, you're done. You know, if not now, when, people, you know, if you got a story to tell, tell the story now. It's not going to take that long. It's going to be a rewarding experience for you. Everything that you can do to increase, you know, lead generation and incoming pipeline, inbound pipeline, that's good. That's the backbone of your business. It's also a highly profitable part of business. Once you get your processes in play, once you get your plays in market, you know, it kind of builds upon itself.
And then you mentioned the time to write your book, and that's the biggest excuse people use. But one of the things I tell people is, I think I actually did an episode on this, like look at, actually write down where you're spending your time during the day. If you're spending 2 hours of your day scrolling on social media, take an hour of that, right? And put it towards writing your book. And before you know, you'll have a book. But it's more of like a looking at your holistic time management, you know, setup and be like, okay, there's always room to write. You just have to make the time. And I think that's where people trip over themselves, is they feel like they can't make the time, or they don't feel like they can make the time because they're already so busy. It's like, okay, but what's more important? Is writing this book, getting it out, more important, or is, you know, being on social media more important?
Yeah, this is, you know, creating a book for your business is not a hobby. It's not a sideline type of job. It is a job responsibility, right? You know, it is, you know, take a little bit of time today in translating that pitch deck. You know, we go to market professionals, particularly in the B2B space, we're working on pitch decks, first call decks all the time. What a book is, you're just translating that first call deck, you know, that pitch deck. You've already got the talk track in your head. Lay down those concepts, build an outline about it, and write it out. There's plenty of tools to help you do that. But it's all about getting started. And it is a job function, you know. Maybe it's a team of people that write it. If you're looking for a business opportunity and something to really spark the inbound channel, there might be a small team that works on this book. The subject matter experts that you have, bring them in, get it done. This is just like revising your pitch deck. And in fact, as you revise your pitch deck, you know, you're probably building scripts out in notes on the bottom half of your, you know, PowerPoint slides or what have you. That's your book, people. It's right there.
Yeah, I like, to your point, pitch decks really do serve as a great outline for your book and structure outline, right? Obviously, you have to write more content, but that pitch deck, if it's a good pitch deck and it makes sense and it flows really well, you can take that and use that as a basis for your book, which I think is really great.
So yeah, that's the bones for your book, right?
Yeah.
That's the outline.
Yep. So Ray, you were obviously a busy executive. How did you make time to write your book?
It doesn't take a lot of time. I write my books even today, usually, you know, right after breakfast. Well, I'll have my avocado bagel. Maybe I'm not even all the way done with it, with my double cappuccino. I'm typing up because, again, it's not that much time and effort. As a full-time writer and as a musician, you know, I split my day up between creating and marketing. A couple of hours a day that I actually spend creating. Sometimes, you know, whether it's music, whether it's a writing of a book, might be as little as an hour, hour and a half of actually, you know, pounding away on the keyboard. And because I like to write kind of, you know, very, you know, have it flow organically, Lynn. You know, I don't do a lot of outlining. You know, I do a lot of like thinking about writing, like maybe if I'm walking, you know, or what have you, then kind of come back and do it. But I like to get it done early. You alluded to this earlier in our conversation about, you know, finding the time and getting kind of lost in the other stuff. For me, this is a big rock. These are big rocks. Let's deal with the big rocks first. All the little rocks, email correspondence, things like that, that can fall in. I can do that later. But, you know, when my energy's fresh, you know, first thing in the morning, let's get the creating done.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, especially on like, you know, the big rock, little rock thing. That's completely true. And I use that all the time. So I have my list of things I'm going to do, right? And then if it's like nighttime or whatever, it's like, okay, I needed to go through my schedule and make sure my schedule for tomorrow is set. And then I just do that at night, right? Where like I'm the same as you. Like in the morning, my head is the best. It's usually the freshest and most productive. And as my day goes on, you know, you get tired because you're working. So for me, it sounds like for you too, working in the morning, writing is the best. Now, for some people, they might be late bugs, like my youngest, who she stays up till like 2-3 in the morning, but she also gets up at 10. So, and she's been doing that since she's been 3 months old. That's never going to change.
The young Ray was kind of like your daughter, but as I got older, I've become more of a morning person than an evening person. So,
yeah, I think that happens just in general to people too, which is kind of funny. Like, I don't know why our biological clocks do that, but it sounds like from what other people I've talked to, it sounds like that's a really common thing that happens. Like as you get older, you start waking up earlier.
You know, you mentioned reviewing your schedule. One of the things that I want to, you know, kind of call out to some people is I learned this lesson from an old colleague of mine, Mark Dietz. He's with Virtuosi Leap now with his spouse, Nadine. He used to block out time in his calendar for a GSD. Get stuff done, right? You know, and I love that idea of blocking out for the department of GSD, get stuff done, you know, because we, you know, we have this tendency to get kind of caught up in meetings and things like that. Schedule time for yourself. Part of that GSD thing could be, you know, creating the, you know, the outline for your book or to really, you know, progress in your book. Book time for yourself.
Absolutely true. Because my time is Wednesday. So my Wednesdays, I block out for content creation. And then there's other times during the week I block out for writing my fiction book that I'm writing on working personally. And these writing get-togethers, I get together with other people who are writing. So that's super helpful because you're all doing the same thing.
Yeah. And I block out a big chunk of Mondays for Music Monday just so, you know, get away from some of my other things so I can focus on music. I love the idea of blocking out time for yourself. And I'd encourage you, if you haven't done it already, definitely do it.
Yeah, it's incredible how much more you can get done when you block out your time. Because I think initially people think like, oh, if I'm blocking out my time, then I can't do other stuff. But you get so much done because you're only working on one thing. You don't have to task switch, which takes like 30% more time to task switch from one to another than just working on one thing.
You know, one thing that I just stumbled across that might be helpful for you, Lynn, and definitely for listeners and watchers out there. You know, I learned this years ago with playing guitar. You know, if my guitars are in their cases, I sometimes might just get a little too lazy to open the case, to pull the guitar out, to practice, and to create and the like. So I always like to keep some guitars out because then I can just be walking by, maybe start noodling on a guitar. I started tracking the words that I was typing on the different book projects that I'm working on. And I just recently started doing that. And it is built in kind of motivator because now I can see like, oh, yesterday I wrote 890 words or whatever. It provides me not only motivation and inspiration to keep going, but there's also this accountability. Like I do it on a simple spreadsheet, but I can't look, you know, I feel good about myself and look at my spreadsheet and see a zero there or a blank, right? You know, like I got to write something today. If it's only 16 words, that's better than zero, right? So, right. You know, have some sort of built-in accountability for your creativity. And if you're like me, kind of, you know, I like metrics, I like measuring, I'm keen on performance and improving my performance. You know, that's a good way of maybe tracking your progress and inspiring you to complete your project.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And that's one of the reasons why I joined a couple different writing groups is for that accountability piece. Because if you don't have a deadline, it never gets done.
That's right.
that'll always be put off till tomorrow. So Ray, this has been awesome. I know my listeners have gotten a lot out of this conversation. For people who are on audio, can you tell them where to find you and how to connect with you?
Yeah, if I could ever do anything for you, please visit me anywhere. My website is rayhartchin.com. My email address is rayhartchin@gmail.com. And on all the social platforms, I'm Ray Hartchin. With the exception of TikTok, I think I'm Ray Hartchin 5. I think my thumbs just got carried away when I was signing up for TikTok. But feel free to reach out to me. I love to hear your stories. And one thing I'd like to add too, if you are a cancer patient caregiver, just an ally, and if there's ever anything I can do with you, please reach out to me. The most rewarding experiences in my life, the honor of my life is, helping patients, their caregivers, and their allies and advocates, just kind of, navigate through serious health issues. So if you're one of those, please reach out to me. And if you'd like to just talk about books, talk about anything, talk about B2B, go to market, I'd love to hear your story.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, thanks again for coming on today, Ray. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Lynn. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, my friends. So, one of the things that I love to do and my favorite thing to do is to help people write their books and help them self-publish their books along the way. So if you are looking for someone to assist you with that, hop on my website, www.writeforyou.me. That's WriteForYou.me, and hit a discovery call button and book your 15-minute time for us to talk. All right, my friends. And remember, until next week, this is Lynn Aliquidy reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Self-Publishing for Professionals podcast. If you found the information on today's show valuable, be sure to subscribe and follow and get the next episode dropped as soon as it's published. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.